We ask thee for thy Spirit, Lord, to be with us this morning in the meditation of thy word. Amen. My dear friends and fellow Christians, have you had your pill already this morning? Or perhaps it would be more apt or correct to say, have you had your pills, like in the plural? Because you see, in society today, we have a pill to pick you up, and we got a pill to calm you down. We got a pill that ails your problems of the head, the stomach, or the feet, or anything in between. Those of you whose hair may already have whitened, such as mine, perhaps remember the day when we had a wonderful elixir called Alpenkräuter. And then some years after that, we had a thing called Hadacol. And today we have Geritol. All of them with the same claim that they'll take care of whatever ails you. And then we also have the whole wide gamut of vitamins. They come in all shapes and sizes and all different beautiful colors. Vitamins A, B, C, and D. And just in case one of you has a problem that one of those doesn't cover, we have the one-a-day vitamin. But what is the antidote to all of life's frustrations, resentments, irritations, and depressions? It is not, contrary to the opinion of the kind of people, Chaplain Merrill Kempfert and I, who will be speaking to you in your convocation today, contrary to the opinion of those people, it is not the euphoria-induced medication or pill or booze. It is not the gusto that comes around just once, but rather it is God's prescription of some spiritual vitamins that I feel every one of us needs to use, and we need to read that prescription very, very carefully. To get into it with you a little this morning, I've decided just to use the alphabet, as we sometimes refer to vitamins A, B, C, and D. And when I speak of the vitamin A, I'm going to talk about ambition. Now, that's a dangerous vitamin, because I had indicated a moment ago, you have to be very careful how you read the prescription. You know, there are prescription drugs upon which you can become physically and psychologically addicted. And if we don't follow this prescription of ambition carefully enough, it can get us into more trouble than it does us good. You'll recall in the early period of God's people, there's a group of people who had become very ambitious, so much so that they decided they wanted to build a tower which would reach at least up into heaven. Then as people would see this tower, they would surely recognize the greatness of these people. But you remember what happened. God came along and confused them, and they couldn't understand one another, and obviously the tower wasn't built. Some years later, there was a young, handsome, dashing son of King David by the name of Absalom. Absalom had certainly misread the prescription of ambition. He was so ambitious, he said, "Oh, if I were just the king, then if anybody would come to me for any kind of a problem, or we today would say, for any advice, then I could surely do them right." It's probably also the kind of misreading of the vitamin of ambition that the mother of James and John had some trouble with. You recall she came to the good Lord one day and said, "Lord, you know, you're going to be setting up your kingdom one day. Wouldn't it be possible that when you set up that kingdom, you could put one of my sons on your right and one at your left?" And the disciples had that struggle, didn't they? We were told they were constantly arguing among themselves which one of them would be the greatest. A misreading of the vitamin of ambition. But I think the one person who maybe had read this thing more correctly than others was the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul talks and he says, "Brethren, I do not claim that I have already achieved, but I follow after, in order that I might receive the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." We as Christian men and women need to be very careful about reading correctly that vitamin of ambition. But we also need the vitamin B. I'm going to refer to it as the vitamin of brotherhood. We talk a lot about that today, don't we? We need to love one another. We need to love the blacks or the whites, the reds or the yellows. We need to love the educated or the illiterate. We need to love the blue collar or the white collar. The prophet helps us to understand this a little more clearly when Malachi already told us many years ago, "Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us?" The proverb says, "The rich and the poor shall meet together, for the Lord is the maker of them all." And the Gospel of John tells us, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." There's an interesting thing about the vitamin of brotherhood, quite different than the vitamin of A or ambition. You just can't get too much of it. The more you give away, the more it comes back to you. And so in regard to the vitamin of brotherhood, I could say, bon appetit, eat heartily, it won't hurt your figure. But we also need the vitamin of C, because it takes a lot of courage, does it not? When we sometimes are called upon as pastors to love the individual who seems to be so unloving or so unlovable. And again, I think we have some illustrations from Scripture to help us to understand this vitamin of courage. How much courage it takes to be willing to live up to the commitment that we have made as ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. Going through the prophet of Daniel, in the third chapter, you become acquainted with a man by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had been conned into believing that he was the most important man in the kingdom, and the enemies of God people had conned him into setting up an edict that a beautiful statue should be erected in his honor, made out of gold, no less, and that anyone who would not bow down and worship him at the time of the cymbals or the musical instruments should be cast into the fiery furnace. But there were three men of God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who refused to obey that edict. And of course, you remember when they were thrown into the fiery furnace, nothing happened. And the men who were stoking the furnace were told, "Stoke it up a little higher, a little more oxygen, make the flames burn higher." And we are told the men who were stoking the furnace were destroyed by the heat of it. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a comment, said, "Your Majesty, we will not try to defend ourselves. If the God whom we serve is able to save us from the fiery furnace and from your powers, then he will. Even if he doesn't, you may be sure that we will not perish, and we will not worship your God, and we will not bow down to your gold statue that you have set up." And as we read on in that prophecy, Daniel has another story in the sixth chapter, where the king of the Medes, Darius, had also been conned into setting up an edict. And you remember there was a law of the Medes and Persians which cannot be altered. And Darius had been conned into establishing an edict that for 30 days, if anyone would worship any god other than Darius, he should certainly be cast into the lion's den. And the traitors were out. Daniel, unfortunately, had a window to his room. And the enemies of Daniel saw him worshiping his God, reported it to Daniel with the reminder Now, Darius, remember, this law which you have set down cannot be altered. Daniel may be your friend, Darius, but this is your edict. It cannot be altered. And we're told King Darius had a sleepless night. He goes to the den early in the morning, and he shouts down to the den, and Daniel says, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angels and has shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me. The courage that this man found in trust in Almighty God. It is the kind of courage that you and I need as we face our commitments, as we have covenanted with our God, that we will be his ambassador. A very egotistical, self-centered Pilate becomes very frustrated in the courtyard with the Lord Jesus Christ because the Lord won't answer his questions. How can you get at whether an individual is guilty or innocent if the man won't answer the questions? And he said, don't you know that I have the power to destroy you and have the power to set you free? And the Lord says, you wouldn't have any power at all if it hadn't been given you from above. And so we as men of God and women of God need to read this vitamin of courage very carefully, and we need it day after day. And finally, we need the vitamin of D, or devotion. Again, what better example is there than the Lord himself? The Lord was devoted to the cause of his Father. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, before the night cometh, when no man can work. Peter and John had been imprisoned because they dared to preach Jesus Christ. And their comment after in jail, we cannot but speak the things that we have heard and seen. And the Apostle Paul finds himself in the same situation. And he says, though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ was committed to the wish of his Father. In Gethsemane, when he prays, Father, remove this cup. But the Father didn't say, well, okay. And so Jesus is committed. He had covenanted with his Father to be obedient to him, to be devoted to the purpose for his being sent into the world. And so we as Christian men and women of today, we remain devoted. We live in the covenant. We are encouraged by the sure and the certain hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and so we also one day. That by faith in a living, loving Jesus Christ, we are guaranteed of the forgiveness of our sins and that we have become reconciled with the Father. We live in the promise that Jesus says, you need fear no foe, and we anxiously await his calling. Yes, chemicals, pills, booze will relieve your emotional pain. It will anesthetize away the emotional pain, but only temporarily. It is only God's spiritual vitamins of ambition and brotherhood and courage and devotion in which you will find a soundness, a firm foundation, a guarantee to keep you safe, and if you will, high on Jesus Christ. I recommend you try it. You might like it. Amen.